Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
We're back.
Yes.
Can I tell y'all a secret?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not here.
What?
I'm not here.
I'm sorry. Where are you?
In real time, right now, I'm in France.
Ooh. Oui, oui.
Mm-hmm. And I've been in France.
Yeah.
I was in France last week, too.
Ooh. Cheating on everybody.
So, yeah. I just wanted to let y'all know because the reason why I'm bringing it up is not even a stunt. It's because when I'm actually back, we're going to talk about France.
Okay.
And what happened in France.
Ooh, I thought it doesn't stay in France?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. So, the French talk too much anyway.
All right, so since we're being so forthright.
Go for it.
I'm not here either.
Where are you?
Mars.
Oh my gosh.
I'm in outer space, y'all.
You've been in outer space then.
Whatever.
You've been in outer space for a long time.
Whatever.
But we are here. We are here. We have a lot to share today. I'm excited about today's show.
Yeah.
We're also getting closer to my birthday. So some of y'all did tweet at Momentum Advice and share some thoughts on what you think my birthday podcast episode should be.
Mm-hmm.
Please continue to do so.
We're whittling down that one tweet that we got.
Not one.
Yeah, we're trying to decide.
No.
You know, how to approach that one.
But my birthday podcast episode is coming up in a very few weeks. Last year, we did 40 questions for 40 years. We're not doing that this year.
Yeah.
Would love your input if you have any thoughts or anything you'd like to hear on my birthday podcast episode.
Yeah.
At Momentum Advice on Twitter.
And if y'all want to get a six-month jump on my birthday, we could get
it's way more than 6 months. It's way more than 6 months too. Than your birthday, to your birthday.
July to February?
Yeah.
Feels like 6 months
but
to me.
But it's more. Okay. It's not. It's more than that.
Basically, more or less.
Also, really quick, I'm going to throw this out there. If you follow us on Twitter, can you let us know if you're going to be in Martha's Vineyard this year, this summer specifically? Will you be in Martha's Vineyard in August?
When in August?
Yeah. Let us know at Momentum Advice on Twitter. We will both be there, but maybe we should get together.
Some of us reluctantly.
Alan always reluctantly, even though he has the best time every single year. But we will be there this year, kind of as always. And we're thinking maybe we want to get together with you. And we got to know if you're all going to be out there. So hit us up on Twitter at Momentum Advice. Let us know if you will be in Martha's Vineyard in August. And if you don't mind kind of sharing your dates, let us know.
Yeah. And send us your actual address. We'll come in. We'll be there. Don't worry.
Please don't, because I'm not coming.
We'll bring financial flashcards for us.
I am not coming. So what are we talking about this week?
So we're talking about entrepreneurship, but we're going to take a different approach.
Because I feel like we talk about entrepreneurship.
Yeah, but we got to talk about it a little different today.
Okay.
So innovation versus perspiration. What's the best approach for you?
I don't like perspiring. I like to be inspired.
Well, you do it. I mean,
if I just want to be inspired, I don't want to perspire.
First of all, it's innovation.
Oh,
but
okay.
Okay, those are the choices.
I want to be innovated on.
How can someone innovate on you?
I don't know. I
want
to be innovated.
I don't want to be innovated.
I don't
want to
be perspired.
On. Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
So I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal this week that really just disheartened me. So the headline was, more startups are throwing in the towel this year because they're unable to raise money for their ideas. It went on to say that there are startups that are shutting down, they're having fire sales of their assets, and there's a huge downturn in the venture capital market. And I'm like, what does that have to do with me?
But here's the thing, and it's not funny, but like startups shutting down because they're not able to raise as much money as they needed or as much money as they put out there or just raise money. in a world where all people talk about is angel investors and venture capital, and there's just, people are just constantly telling everyone, there's just all these investors, there's so much money out there, go out there and get this money. Mm-hmm. As people who actually go out and look for money, it's not as available as they make it seem. It's not as easy, especially since I think people think because there's been a Google or because there was a Microsoft, because there are these startups that really have taken off in major ways, that now everyone's dying to invest money. That's not necessarily the case, because as many as have gone up, there are exponentially more that have not worked out.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. Yeah, they're calling this year the mass extinction of startups.
It's too many. It was a mass resignation. Yes, now we got mass extinction.
And they're calling it that because in the first quarter of 2023, funding is down by 55%. And there's a lot of startups. There were 2,750 startups that raised money in 2021 in a seed round. Seed round is kind of like your very, very first round. And they haven't had an additional round since then. And a lot of times these companies are burning money. And so if you're raising money because you're burning money and you've only raised money once and there's no one willing to make a second investment into your company, a lot of these seed stage businesses are going to be out of here. Because typically when they raise seed money, it's only intended to last for about 18 months to 2 years before they can raise more money. So this was disheartening because I think for a lot of us, you know, you only think of one way to start a business. You think of the Shark Tank way of starting a business. You think you need venture capitalists and angel investors. But when I think about our own journey as entrepreneurs, like between you and I, Tiffany, we own a lot of businesses. We have not drawn a traditional paycheck for either of us in over 10 years. And we've made it through recessions. We've made it through.
We've thrived.
Word.
We have thrived. We've bought homes. I'm in France.
Brother was on Mars.
Yeah, so.
Up until I came down to tape this podcast. No, but I'm just saying, like, I think people really need to understand there's the innovation route, there's the perspiration route.
Can I tell you a very interesting story? So about 2 weeks ago, I sat on a panel. It was at a women's conference. Mm-hmm. And I sat on a panel with two other women, one who had a tech startup.
Okay.
And another woman who had a startup around, like, women's period products.
Ooh.
Right?
Spicy.
The second woman, she started this company out of her own personal needs.
Okay.
She had found out that she had a tumor during her pregnancy, and it was due to chemicals in standard period products, like tampons and things like that. So she started this company. And she ended up getting well over, like, $5 million in through pitch competitions and through people who just thought it was a really great idea and gave money.
Okay.
She had no debt. Okay. She had no equity partner. She had 100% ownership.
Okay. So these people just gave the money.
Yeah. They believed in the mission.
Okay.
Some of the people included Pharrell, Beyonce. Okay.
Just here's a check.
Believe in what you're doing.
Love it.
The products are sold in Target.
Okay.
Variety of other places. Ended up getting a really strong B2B business line, where hotels were now carrying her products and giving them away for free, variety of different things. And what I found interesting is that with that, with all the money that had been received, no debt, no equity, she was now interested in going after VC money.
Huh.
Right?
I would think $5 million goes a long way.
That's what I'm saying.
I would think.
It did. No, it has gone a long. Her company is massive.
Okay.
She's done great. So, yes. It has done well, but I'm with you. I remember sitting on the panel thinking, like, why would you want VC money with all the money that you got and with all the success that you've created? And one, her answer was, I still need to scale more. Mm-hmm. But she said this was always the plan. The plan was to build this mega company.
Mm-hmm.
I now can set my own valuation.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can take on millions and millions of dollars without giving up majority equity at all.
Yeah,
and all she was offering in her VC play, she wasn't offering more than 10% cumulative across all investors. She still planned on keeping 90%.
If you can get it, great plan.
But I just thought the way that she went about that, because a lot of people want the VC money up front.
Yeah.
And at that point, you ain't worth nothing. They're telling you what they're going to give you. They're asking for the moon, asking for your firstborn and everything under the sun. And there's something to say about timing. And as we're talking about these startups who are asking for all this money up front when you don't have a strong valuation and you're giving up a lot, That's very different. There are very different ways to think about it as an entrepreneur, as you're growing your business.
Yeah. So let me tell you about my first time learning about entrepreneurship in college. I studied business in college. I took an entrepreneurship class. And one of my professors that taught entrepreneurship was a business owner. And, you know, sometimes college is like elementary school in terms of the approach. Like, he would have us literally write every class the definition of entrepreneurship down.
Which I'm sure a lot of y'all got wrong.
Yeah, but it was this specific definition, and it's like seared into my brain. Entrepreneurship is the act of starting one's own business, but the business idea does not have to be new or unique. That second part really resonated with me, because I think a lot of people think they need to be the next Ruby Rose. I don't know if that's who you're talking about.
I'm not.
Okay. Or the next Google or the next Microsoft. When in a lot of cases, a lot of businesses are copycat businesses. A lot of businesses are Me Too businesses. Like, not every business is going to scale or needs venture capital. And so we should talk about that a little bit. So we're going to talk about innovation versus
perspiration.
So let me give you some stats. So did you know, Tiffany, that every year, on average, 4.4 million new businesses start annually?
That's a lot.
And last year, there's an uptick since the pandemic. Over 5 million businesses started last year.
Because y'all decided y'all wasn't going back to work.
But how many startups do you think get funded every year by venture capitalists and angel investors? What would you guess off the top of your head?
Percentage?
Or number.
Okay, so 4.4 million are going out every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking 1 million get funded.
Okay. You're way wrong.
Okay.
But I think that's generally like the way people probably think about it because of what we see as entrepreneurship.
Right. Through social media, through Forbes, you see these people on the cover of these magazines and
Word.
You think like, that could be me.
Like, it's prevalent.
That happens all the time.
Would you believe that annually, on average, only 1,500 businesses get funded by venture capitalists every year?
Out of 4.4 million?
1,500 to 2,500 is the number.
That's less than 1%.
For sure. And then if you add in angel investors, that these are individuals that aren't necessarily attached to a professional investment firm, now you're up to about 50,000. But we're starting millions of businesses every year. A fraction of these businesses, less than 1%, is getting investment capital. And specifically, if you start talking about venture capital, a few thousand businesses per year are getting money.
So we're not saying this to discourage you, first of all.
No.
What we are talking about and why we are going through all of this information is talking about your pathway to entrepreneurship. Is it going to be innovation or is it going to be perspiration?
Word, because think of it another way. That means 99% of the businesses started in this country each year are not funded by venture capital angel investors.
Because we did not give numbers around how many of these businesses are successful.
Yeah.
We just gave numbers around which are funded up front. But there's a lot more than the 1% that we just talked about that are actually successful and that kill it and that thrive.
By the way, there's no guarantee that just because you got venture capital funding, you're going to be successful.
And if you did get venture capital funding and you're not successful, you're probably way worse off than the people who didn't get funded.
Word, you probably have to shut your whole thing down and sell the parts.
Like, and they're in debt.
There's a lot of venture capitalists who their goal, like anytime they make an investment, they expect that half the businesses are going to fail. Right? On average, I'll give you some stats just in general. This is not venture-backed businesses, but this is a general statement. On average, 20% of new businesses fail within the first 2 years, 45% in the first 5 years, and 65% in the first 10 years. So basically, you've got a 1 in 3 chance of making it past 10 years. And that's whether you got funding or not. But I would venture that the folks who get this venture funding are no more successful. Their odds of success are no more high than the folks who don't have venture investments.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for us to get that point across. If you want to be an entrepreneur, we believe in you. But you cannot believe that the only way you can be successful as an entrepreneur is receiving specific type of funding at a specific time. That's never worked out for Alan and myself. Earlier, we talked about how we've applied for business loans after business loans.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to get them for other people. We have not until, you know, I don't know what year. Both of us are 10 years into entrepreneurship.
Longer.
This is our first time actually being successful in getting a business loan for ourselves.
Yeah.
But that has not prevented us from opening or starting every single business that we put out there.
Word. So let's talk about this innovation path. Like, this is the, I'm going to call it the way that most people think is the only way to start a business. But the innovation path really starts with this notion of having a meaningful, unique, and innovative product or service. This is when you're thinking about getting something patented, you've got some sort of trade secret, you've built a better mousetrap, and this is where it's not like a Me Too product. Like, this is where you've got a unique product that you expect to completely disrupt an industry.
And you keep saying Me Too. We're not talking about Weinstein Me Too.
Yeah, no.
Okay?
No.
We're not talking about inappropriate sexual behavior Me Too. We're talking about, like, also, I'm doing that also. I like it.
Thank you, Tiffany, yes, for that disclaimer. Okay. Yeah. Big shout to those who are appropriate with their sexual experiences.
Hopefully that's okay. The masses.
Okay. But the path to innovation, again, it starts with having this unique once-in-a-lifetime idea, which, by the way, like, you know a lot of entrepreneurs. And again, we're talking about innovation right now. But how many of your friends and people you know who are entrepreneurs had a once-in-a-lifetime idea? Like, what percentage of them?
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Zero.
Word. But.
And even when y'all think it's a once in a lifetime idea, it's usually not, yo. Okay? And the people who love you aren't going to tell you that. It's like being a rapper. You know what I mean? Like, you start freestyling at the family event and they don't want to tell you how trash it is.
Oh my God.
Like, better referred to as hot garbage. Like, they don't want to tell you that, but it ain't innovative. It's not the first thing they ever heard.
I don't want to go down this path, but, you know, my nephew and his classmates, they're in a business class and they've been advised to create a startup, and bless their hearts, like, they're thinking of all these new businesses that they want to start. But, like, I hate to tell them, like, a lot of these things exist already. Like, I think a lot of times people that think they've got this unique thing haven't really done a market assessment to figure out what else is out there that's like it. But the innovation path, again, the first hurdle is really coming up with this innovative idea, which for a lot of people is going to preclude them from going the innovation route altogether. The next thing that you need if you're going this route is the ability to gain traction with a very large addressable market, because you want investors who are looking to make 10 times their money. Like, they don't want to build a company that's going to service, you know, a little neighborhood in Baltimore. They want to build businesses. They want to invest in businesses that are going to address markets all over the country, if not all over the world. So if you don't have a business that has that potential, you're probably not on the right path in terms of innovation. Next, you need a strong team. A lot of times people don't even have teams and have businesses,
facts,
great businesses. You might have employees, but, like, really to get, you know, significant venture capital, you need a real team of equity partners in your business. You need a business plan. You also need an MVP to have one of these venture-backed businesses.
Sorry.
An MVP.
Like, Jokic?
No, man.
Okay.
And congrats to Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. I was salty. I was actually going for the Heat.
Were you seriously?
I knew the Heat weren't going to win.
Okay.
But I wanted them to win.
Okay.
I go for the underdogs. Okay?
This is why we don't get funded on business loans.
Oh, my
gosh. Because Allen bets against the obvious right choice.
But
I'm not a Heat or Denver fan, but I feel like we knew it was up.
Yeah. So an MVP is the notion of creating a minimum viable product. This is a version of your product that you can create with very little money and effort that really just proves your thesis will work in the marketplace. For example, you might have a business where you want to build some app that's going to cost $1 million, but maybe you build a very scaled down version that doesn't have all the functionality and you roll it out at a convention and see if people like the concept of the idea. That would be an MVP. This This is kind of the path towards innovation. And then finally, you need a business that can scale. And scale, when people say that word scale, it simply means that your revenues can really outpace the marginal cost of growing your business. So meaning like I can invest money once, but have revenue that just keeps growing and keep growing on a really, really small base of cost. When you talk about a business that scales, you're talking about one where it doesn't matter how many people are trying to buy your service, like you can keep up with it with a really, really small operational cost base.
Yeah, a lot of times scaling the business comes down to technology. For some people, they think it means people. They think it means like I just got to hire more people or I got to do more work. That's actually not scalable, right? Like you can't get more arms and legs. There aren't more hours in the day. If it's all dependent upon you being the only person getting things done, it's not really a scalable business. What makes it not as attractive if you're trying to receive funding, but also it limits your availability to make revenue further down the line. So you want to make sure, again, your business is scalable outside of you. And again, that could look like people, but more importantly, that oftentimes looks like systems and technology.
Yeah, so I don't know if you could tell, we're not necessarily the biggest fan of innovation-based entrepreneurship. Now, with a caveat, right? Like not to say that it's impossible to do, not to sort of downplay the accomplishments of those who've made money with innovation-based businesses. I guess what I'm saying is that for us, we've never been in an innovation business. We've never had a business that required a whole lot of upfront capital in order to make money. But that's really one of the big hallmarks of innovation-based businesses is that they really require a unique idea and a lot of capital. And a lot of times those businesses lose money for years before they make it.
But I will say this, right? And you bring up a good point of what we've done. Whatever type of path that you go into has to be built for you. I don't think either one of us are kind of built for the innovation pathway to entrepreneurship. Even though I was joking earlier that I want to be innovated on, like we have done our entrepreneurship through perspiration. We just like it that way.
Yeah.
Like you and I just prefer it. So it really does come down to a character assessment, what you can and can't do, like just who you are as a person, like being honest about yourself and who you are. So it's not one is better than the other. It's just one is a better fit for you. And honestly, when I gave the example earlier about the woman who had the women's, you know, period product company, I think what I was trying to share is that she did both. She started with perspiration and shifted to innovation. So it might be a combo for you, but we do want to talk through what the options are so you can determine what works best for you. So we have more to talk about. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. So we are back.
Yes.
We're talking about entrepreneurship, innovation, perspiration, and hateration.
All the Asians. Vacation.
Yes, because I'm on one right now. The entrepreneurship through perspiration has allowed me to be on vacation.
Yeah, word. Yeah, and I guess we all look forward to the day where we don't have to perspire as much.
Listen, yes, that's fact.
Yeah. But so we talked before the break about innovation as the main path of entrepreneurship for some. Just because it's not for us doesn't mean that it's not for you. But let's now talk about perspiration for a moment. So when I say entrepreneurship by perspiration, what do I mean? This is the idea of going into a business that's not necessarily new or unique.
Word.
These are entrepreneurs who simply see a need and they go out and fulfill it. And it doesn't always require millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. And it could be a slow climb, right? You're not trying to build a Taj Mahal. You're just trying to be a vendor.
Yeah.
Right? Like, listen, they're going to need pipes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with just laying the pipes. I know I'm not the first person.
Laying the pipes.
You know, for the Taj Mahal.
Okay.
I'm not the first person to do plumbing.
Word.
But I can do it too.
Yeah. That's fine. I can do it also. Not me too,
exactly.
But me
there
as well.
There we go. Yes. In addition to y'all, this me.
So when it comes to entrepreneurship by perspiration, here are the steps. Number one is to identify a need in the market. And you do that by just paying attention. For example, you're having dinner at a restaurant and, you know, the host comes by and he or she mentions that there's an issue they're having. They can't find enough dumplings or what have you, or whatever it is. And you're like, wait a minute, I know how to make dumplings.
Right.
Maybe I could be the dumpling supplier.
And you're not even saying I make better dumplings.
Word. Right? I just make regular ass dumplings.
Or I make the same dumplings that you make. But they still need them.
But I got them and you don't.
Exactly.
Right? So it's identifying a need and then figuring out a way to meet that need with your product or service. Often these are service-based businesses, but I will caveat that you can't just meet the need. The price also really, really matters.
Yeah.
You need a price that the market is willing to pay and you need a price where you can also make a profit. And if you price your business the right way, the market's going to embrace that product and you're going to be very profitable and successful. So bottom line, the number one thing that you need to start a perspiration-based business, it ain't funding, it's...
customers.
Word. Customers are like the most slept on source of funding out there. Like, it's not debt, it's not equity, you don't have to pay anybody back. All you've got to do is give them what you promised to give them, which is the product or service, and they will give you capital. Often, these customers will give you the money up front. Like, you started a business where people paid a big deposit before you got started.
Facts. I needed 50% up front, not because I didn't trust you, but because I was broke.
Word. So, this perspiration idea, again, requires a lot less funding. It's also not required to be scalable.
Yeah. And not only does it not require to be scalable, we'll get to that, it doesn't have to be sexy.
Word.
Right? I feel like a lot of the innovation type businesses are super sexy. You got a patent. It's a tech thing. It's something that's never been seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, lightning in a bottle. You know what I mean? It's so far. Somebody has to really believe
Word.
And understand the concept and the chemistry behind it all. This one, not so much.
Yeah, you just got to be able to do it also.
Listen, I sharpen knives.
Word.
That's what I do.
And I do it well. I will get these knives sharp as hell.
And that's it. And I'm not about to create like a special, never been seen before cigar and bowling lounge where you can get your knives sharpened in the back.
That sounds fire.
I'm not about to do all that.
I'm feeling
no,
that.
No, I'm about to. I got a hole in the wall.
Knife sharpening lounge?
Next to downtown locker room.
Okay.
And you can stop in and get these knives sharpened. I'm going to say hello, or I might not. But
yeah.
It's on time, and the price is right, and the service is good.
But, like, think about most of the businesses where you spend money. Like, are they super innovative? Like, you spend money at the grocery store.
Word.
You get gas for your car. You might get your car washed every now and then.
I've never heard anybody say, you know what, I'm not about to open a gas station because it's been done before.
It's too many
gas
stations.
It's been done before. I'm not about to. I don't think I can make any money in owning a gas station.
Really?
Because it's too many people doing it.
Yeah.
It's too many other people out here doing it.
What's crazy about gas stations, they often open up across the street from each other.
Word.
Or next door to each other because they know that there's money right there.
And not one is trying to do anything better than the other. They're not trying to pump gas better.
Mm-mm.
The gas isn't coming through a clear tube.
Yeah.
They got the same snacks.
Clear tube.
Just saying. They got the same snacks.
Yeah.
They both got the same waters.
They got the same octane selection.
Pretty much. And oftentimes the price is the same.
Yeah.
And no one is hurting.
Now look, when it comes to a perspiration business, it helps if you can do business a little bit better, whether it be through offering better prices or better services.
Or just being on time with the business that you're...
Word.
Right? So if
it,
you got...
It helps.
If the, hopefully the smoothie machine always works, just because you offer smoothies.
Word.
Right? It don't have to be the best smoothies, but you know you can always crank them out. Or whatever the case is, you get the service done on time. I work with a resume writer. I refer a lot of people to her. She has really, I mean, for me, she has superior skills to any other resume writer I've seen in the past. One of the things that I love about her more than anything else is her timeline for getting things done.
Okay.
If you could just stick to that timeline, honestly, it's a win. And I will tell you, this particular resume writer costs 3 times more than my previous resume writer.
Mm-hmm.
And never once did I consider going back to my old girl.
Word.
Never once have I said, you know what, guys, I'm not going to refer you to her because she costs more money.
Yeah.
She does what she says she's going to do. They both have always done a great job, but her timeline and the fact that she gets it done the way she says she's going to, when she says she's going to, that's enough for me.
You just nailed it. A lot of people feel like they got to be the lowest price in town. This woman that says, no, I'm going to be the best
literally
writer.
3 times more. Literally
Word.
Three. And I don't know if she's the best writer. Again, I've had someone else that also did a really great job. But her timeline and process
Word.
Is so succinct and direct. I always know what I'm getting.
For Tiffany, matters. We have a friend who just started a franchise in the Black women hair care business where it's salons. Like, it's, you know, regular salons. But the reason why she was able to succeed is that she's really, really anal about making sure that when you schedule an appointment— you get in at that exact time, and then we have a finish time, and you got everything done on time.
Hold up, hold up. They give you the finish time up front?
Yeah, so they could schedule it. Like, they're just doing doobies. You remember this woman. They're just doing...
First of all, no, it's not just a doobie. Okay. It's a science to a doobie.
Okay,
for all the ladies out here still getting doobies, roller sets, shout out to y'all and the volume that you walk out with with your hair on a Saturday.
But I'm saying that's very predictable, I would imagine.
What?
How long it's going to take to get that done?
No, it's not. Like, it's that's the win. That's why I was like, is she telling people what time they're going to get out? Because when you go to a hair salon, you are signing up for life. You do not know what time you're going to get out. You can't make plans for the rest of the day. Or you typically do it at the end of the day because you're like, listen, if I got to fall asleep here, I'll fall asleep here. But you have no clue. You have no say over your time. So with
that. The start time's at a minimum.
The start time, yes. But even that's a joke. Right? Because if she hasn't eaten or if she's scheduling every 15 minutes. But I do remember this client. And to your point, one of her biggest selling points was she started when she said she was going to start and she finished when she said she was going to finish.
Word.
My hairdresser that I love and I gatekeep. So I'm going to just go ahead and please don't hit me up and ask me about her because I'm not doing it.
And you're cheating on her.
I'm not cheating on her with a new hairdresser.
No, you're cheating.
I'm cheating on her with a protected hairstyle. Okay.
That
so
sounds
I haven't,
like
no, I have not gone to a new hairdresser. Okay,
like
it's just a new protective style right now. But with my hairdresser, she's a lot more expensive. She's way farther away from my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I love going to her because she always gets me out on time.
Word.
I own the rest of my day. I can think about the other things that I want to do. I'm not sitting around held hostage in a salon. And for that, I will gladly pay more money and I will gladly drive farther.
So I want to give some examples of business models that were funded by Perspiration. So we met this great entrepreneur this week who I really think embodies this concept of entrepreneurship by Perspiration. So my man literally created a dry cleaning and laundry business without owning a single piece of dry cleaning or laundry equipment.
Yeah, he's fire.
He did it all through hustling. My man figured out that there's hotels and restaurants that needs his service. He then went there without having any of these facilities. He went there and said, look, how much do you pay for this and that? What's your, you know, your service guideline? I want to do it for you. I'll deliver. I'll, you know, make it custom for you. And he got enough people to say yes that he got himself in business. And guess how he actually cleaned the clothes?
At his crib.
He started at his crib, he ended up at a coin-op laundromat. He would go and get bedding from hotels and bring it to the local coin-op laundromat. Him and his wife would wash and fold the items and bring it back. And he made a nice profit on having a really low cost of operation.
So I'm not saying y'all should steal his idea. But y'all should steal his idea. Here's the thing, right? First of all, some of y'all, I'm being serious. Stay-at-home moms, right? You got to wash your clothes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got good relationships with local vendors in your town, you ain't got to do this for the masses, but just for your town.
Word.
Right? Local hotel, local pizza shop, a couple of other spots. Offer to do their laundry.
Word.
They have to outsource this laundry. They typically do not wash their own items.
They sure don't.
It's tablecloths, it's napkins, you know what I mean? It's uniforms. Offer to do wash and fold for them, pick up, wash and fold delivery at a fee.
Word.
That is entrepreneurship.
Because if you're in the restaurant business, you're in the business of feeding people. You're worried about employees showing up. You're worried about food waste. The bare minimum thing you're not thinking about is making sure I got clean white tablecloths on all the tables.
100%. Which means I don't need to vet vendors. Just get, you're going to get them clean. You're going to pick them up and bring them back. Appreciate you.
He then realized that a lot of these restaurants are actually renting their tablecloths and napkins. So he went out and bought a couple for the low and got into the rental business. And he's now in two businesses. He's doing services at hotels where the hotel guests can get their clothes dry cleaned and washed. The towels and blankets can get dry cleaned and washed. But then he also got into the rental business. And again, he did this without having a facility. And it was funny. The funny thing about his story, he said that one of the big hotel chains like Marriott or somebody, they said, well, look, we want to come and see your facility.
This was funny, right? They were like, listen, we are a big deal. We need to know where our items are being cleaned. So homeboy went to one of the local dry cleaners that they use, sometimes they use and work with, that they partner with, and said, yo, you cool if you let us act like it's ours?
He went so far as to get these jokers shirts with his logo on it.
Right. They had shirts. Can y'all just stay here just for 15 minutes and just act like act like it's mine. First of all, you have to have a level of humility to even make this type of ass.
I was going to say balls.
Both, right? Because we're so accustomed to people acting like they balling, acting like they don't need anything. I got everything covered. Everything's taken care of. Everything's perfect. I'm out here. I'm a millionaire, billionaire tomorrow. Instead, he's like, listen, I don't got it. Can you just help me act like I, can you just help me partner with me, act like I got it for 15 minutes?
Word.
Again, this will result in a better partnership, you know, whatever the case is.
More sales to you.
More
He's getting
sales
his clothes cleaned at your facility anyway.
But I'm not going to be able to get this contract if they don't see a facility. So can you just let them see the facility? Don't say nothing. I'm going to say everything. Just stand here. When we walk out, you can take these uniforms off.
Word. Yo, I love that story because getting that contract gave him the revenue and the profit it took for him to go out and secure his own space.
Exactly.
And now he's in business. Now he's got this business that really, if you think about his startup cost, he really only needed gas to drive to each of these and maybe enough for brochures.
Quarters. He needed quarters for the...
And he needed quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless he made them pay in advance, in which case he got the quarters.
Word.
So what I'm saying is like this notion of perspiration, I love because it doesn't require all of these things that for some of us are unattainable on the front end. This innovative idea that no one's ever thought of, this millions of dollars in funding. Like, we don't need any of that for perspiration. So let's talk about some other businesses that started by perspiration. I got one, Momentum Advisors. Like, I learned how to be a financial advisor working at Merrill Lynch and Goldman Sachs, and basically one day figured I could do this on my own. When I started this business, I didn't have an office space. I didn't have a website. But what I did have was a group of people who agreed that they would do business with me because they liked me and they would continue to use my services, whether I was working at Goldman or not.
Now, a person could say, well, Alan, you went to college. There's costs for your MBA. You went and got your license from the SEC. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of innovation for this business. That's not the case. Alan already had those things.
Yeah.
Alan got those things not thinking about ever being an entrepreneur, never thinking about a Momentum Advisors. So for a lot of us, there are tools that we've already had or that we've already paid for, skills that we've already paid for, and they're just lying around that we can re-implement towards our entrepreneurship.
I will tell you, and this may be a newsflash to some, we're not the first financial advisors out here doing investment advice and financial planning.
Not the first Black ones either.
And we're now one of the largest Black-owned firms doing what we're doing, and we're only 11 years old. And it was all perspiration, all hustle. Like, we did not have millions of dollars of startup capital, but our businesses make millions of dollars a year now.
You mean we didn't have a seed round?
Yeah, we ain't have an A round, a B round, a C round, because we didn't have access to it. You know, the thing about funding is like, you know, if we had funding, we probably would have blown it, to be honest.
Not only did we not have access to it, we didn't have time for it. Like, the time it would have taken to raise money is the time we needed to make money.
Word. And so I look at our business today, you know, we're employing like 10, 11 people. We have 300 families and institutional clients across the country that we're working with. We're managing over $330 million in assets. And this is all from really starting out with very, very little. I think it probably cost less than $10,000 to start Momentum Advisors. And we're 11 years in, and we're defying those stats. Those stats said that most businesses don't make it 10 years, but we're already in year 11.
Yeah, my first business, I started with $65.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me six figures of income for multiple years.
This is why, listen, when people ask me about investment advice, the thing I always say that frustrates people, but I will say it every time, the two greatest returns on investment, it's education and entrepreneurship. Like, where else can you invest $65 and make six figures of income, not just once, but annually? That's entrepreneurship, and that's entrepreneurship by perspiration.
Yeah, again, I know I was joking earlier that I don't like perspiration, but honestly, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I wouldn't want to do it any other way. Me personally, Alan and I have been in a position where, you know, someone was potentially offering us tens of millions of dollars to go out and do business.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't love it. Like, I'm like, what are we gonna do with this money? But one, because they're gonna ask for it back.
Yeah.
Right? And so for some people, innovation is the best way to go. It suits you, it suits your business model. For other people like myself, let me just go to work. If all I have to do is work and I don't owe anybody and I get to keep the dollars from my work on day one, I'm kind of with that.
Word. other businesses that are service-based businesses that, to your point, Tiffany, sometimes entrepreneurship by perspiration looks like you've built yourself a job, like you got to go to work every day, but you're kind of your own boss. But in reality, you've got a bunch of little bosses. Like I have 300 bosses at Momentum Advisors, where I used to have one.
301, because I'm definitely your boss.
Silence. Silence.
The people know the truth. Okay. The people know the truth.
But other service-based businesses where folks have been able to create very lucrative businesses, accountants, bookkeepers, architects, consultants, life coaches, travel agents, social media consultants, website developers, hairdressers,
stylists, lash technicians.
Like
these, you've heard us talk about these things before.
Yeah.
We've done whole podcasts on how you can make money overnight. You can make real income overnight with not a ton of money. And again, that's entrepreneurship through perspiration. As we continue to push the narrative around entrepreneurship, and we're not saying that everybody needs to be an entrepreneur, but we know we do have listeners who are interested. We have listeners who are entrepreneurs. We have listeners who are afraid of being entrepreneurs or just super leery. This conversation is to let you know that there's more than one pathway to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't all have to look the same. And whatever works for you works for you. But the goal ultimately is to be successful, is to bring in income, is to bring in more than goes out. Like ultimately, that's the goal, however way you do it, through innovation or perspiration.
Facts.
So we have more to talk about. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boone.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com. To discover all the podcasts we have to offer, we have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
We are back.
Yes.
Still talking about entrepreneurship.
Innovation versus perspiration.
Mm, or maybe a little bit of both. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes you need a little bit of both.
Innovation. Perspiration.
Not where I thought you were going, but I like it. I was thinking Key Sweat.
Oh.
Sweat all night long, girl.
What?
Just me and you.
No. No, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but before the break, we really broke down this notion of perspiration. And prior to that, we talked about innovation. Now let's give some advice to all the aspiring entrepreneurs out there. And this is advice whether you go innovation or perspiration or
iteration or perspiration.
Yeah. So number one, if you've got customers, you've got a business.
Period. Full stop. So not business cards, not a website, not an office, not an assistant, not an email address.
Word. Those are all mostly expenses that are just costing you money but not giving you a business.
Correct. In order to have a business, you just have to have customers. That's it. That's how you make money. That's how you are in the black. That is how you are successful. When you have customers and you are bringing in more than what's going out, you are a successful business owner. I don't care if you made $5. You are a successful business owner.
Yeah. Next, don't overlook revenue as a funding source. It's the most slept on funding source that for some reason nobody likes to talk about.
It also, for me, is the less stressful funding source.
Word.
In that I'm not up late at night thinking about who I owe money to, whether it's a bank or an investor, or these investors aren't calling my phone like crazy, asking me a ton of questions. I don't have a ton of eyeballs on me because somebody wants to know what the performance is and, you know, how things are going. Every dollar that I make, I put 50 cents of that back into the business. I can live with that.
Word.
And I don't owe anybody anything.
Except the service or product that you
promised. Correct. But I don't have to hear anybody's mouth, and I can go to sleep at night knowing that I'm paid up.
Next, think about your pricing. It's a big, big part of entrepreneurship. If you want to be the low price provider, understand that you're setting yourself up for a high volume, business where the service is going to be low. You really can't do low price, high service. It doesn't work. You will bankrupt your business. Conversely, high price simply means low volume and high service. Earlier, Tiffany talked about her high-end resume writer, her ghostwriter, who charges triple. I bet she doesn't do as many resumes as the person that charges $500.
Yeah, agreed.
Right? And like, you got to think about, what kind of life do I want to live as an entrepreneur? How much time do I want to spend working? And base your price on that.
I would also add, like, that low price, high volume. Also, you know, as Alan mentioned, low service. Hopefully it's low human capital, right? Like, if you have to have a ton of people, it really could cut into your cost. Versus high prices, especially high price service, you typically really, really care about a very specific type of customer experience, right? Higher human capital. The other thing that I would say that you really, really need to lean on, do not be afraid of your price.
Word.
Every time that lady tells me how much money it costs for a resume, she says it straight. She's Word. Not humming and hawing. She's not reciting Ain't all no, of her skills.
She doesn't say, but I could do it for.
Right. Or she's like, but you know, I'm really, really good. I'm really, really, really good for it. She is. That's it. You can take it or leave it. There's. Word. I've never thought to negotiate with her. And I've referred her a ton of business. And I've not received a discount yet.
You got to understand that your business is not for everyone. I hate to say that.
And everybody is not your customer.
Word. And if you're talking to someone and they're balking about your price, they're just not the customer for you. So again, pricing really, really matters. When we talk to entrepreneurs who are in the service business, we often ask, well, how's life? How much money are you making? And, you know, for folks that are overworked and underpaid, raise your prices. If you raise your prices by 30% and you lose 10% of your customers, you just made 20% more money.
Especially if you lost 10% of your lowest paying customers, which Word. Oftentimes are the loudest and the most annoying.
Absolutely. So now, if you do need to raise money, like, don't necessarily go on Shark Tank. Don't think that you could, you know, somehow network your way into a venture capitalist. You really want to start with people who, number one, like you, who respect you.
Know you.
And they have an interest in what you're doing. Like, often when people come to us saying, hey, can you help me raise money? I turn it back to them and say, well, who do you know that likes and respects you that might be willing to write you a check?
And I feel like a lot of time people do the opposite. They don't want to ask people who they know. And for me, that means, so they know something about you that I don't, and what they know would prevent them from wanting to invest. If you feel like the only people that you can ask for money are the people who don't know you, because you're afraid, embarrassed, ashamed to ask people who know you, that's very, very telling about who you are as an entrepreneur.
Word. Also, think about whether it makes sense to raise equity or debt. Because again, on TV, on Shark Tank, all they talk about is equity. And the thing about equity is, when someone buys equity into your business, that is forever, as long as that business is alive. That means that they may have a say in your business, right? You may have to run things past them before you decide to do certain things. Like, they kind of become your boss. It also means that they will one day have the potential to force you to sell your business so that they can get their money back. Now, if you've got a business that your goal is to pass this business down to your kids, having equity investors is a horrible idea, because there will be a day when those venture capitalists or angel investors want their money back and your goals may not be in alignment. So think about debt. Like, debt is a cheap, cheap way of funding your business. Yeah, you've got to pay the money back. Yeah, there's an interest rate, but at least when I pay the money back, it's over. And a lot of times your investors really just want their money back plus a little bit of a return, and debt is kind of the perfect way of structuring that sort of investment. So on that notion of debt, if you're thinking about, well, what kind of organizations or businesses might I turn to? Often a startup is not a good target for a bank. If it were a franchise, maybe. But if this is just a business you're looking to start and you don't have a three-year track record, you might want to look at some of these mission-based lenders. Mission-based lenders are organizations that are classified as CDFIs, or Community Development Financial Institutions. Just Google them. There's online directories where you can find them. Examples would be organizations like Acción is spelled A-C-C-I-O-N, the Opportunity Fund, There's one called Kiva, K-I-V-A, J-F-L-A. Like, these are basically lenders who are community-based organizations, and they will provide capital as low as $500 and on average as high as $250,000. They're mission-based. They're really looking to have sort of a double bottom line impact. Yeah, they want their money back, but more importantly, they're really looking to fund entrepreneurs in communities that are going to create jobs, but also solve social problems in communities.
Now, also, if you are one of these startup companies, right, and so you don't have like a pre-existing thing, look at pitch competitions. I told you that a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on a panel about venture capital. The two other women that sat on a panel with me had raised most of their startup money through pitch competitions. The one woman in particular that I talked about more in depth, she in total went through 47 pitch competitions and won $1.5 million in total.
I wonder how many of the 47 she actually won. Probably a small
percentage. No, she won 47. So she probably did way more than that. She didn't even say how many she did.
She won 47.
She won 47 pitch competitions and in total won $1.5 million. She also told me the way that she got in a pitch competition, she went to an investor who was a lawyer and said, hey, can you help me with some of the legal stuff? And I'm trying to raise money. And they're like, well, why don't you go the pitch competition route? And she's like, well, I don't know how to pitch. I don't know. He was like, listen, I'll sit down with you for one day. I'll help you build your materials. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what you need to do, what you should expect, and let's see what happens. And she won her first pitch competition. It was probably like $500 to $5,000. Like, these pitch competitions aren't all like hundreds of tens of thousands of dollars. But after that, it gave her the confidence and pushed her in a direction of continuing to go after more pitch competitions. Immediately after I did this panel, I sat on the judging panel for a women's business pitch competition. And guess who was on the panel with me?
Who?
Two banks.
Mm.
Right? Not only could you win the reward of the pitch competition, but you were literally also pitching to banks at the same exact time.
I love it. I love it. But at the same time, like, look, this is, you know, we always give our perspective. Can I just throw some shade for a minute?
Before you throw shade, I'm going to throw shade because the bank that was on the panel with me has turned us down twice.
Mm. Yeah, and we're about to close down our accounts with them.
Word.
Thank you kindly. And they're going to be begging our butts to come back. Too late. But shade for a minute. This show Shark Tank, like, my kids love it. I think it's a popular show. I love Damon John. But I actually don't like this show.
I've heard you say this before.
Here's why I don't like it. Number one, you've got these entrepreneurs up there straight up. I hate to say it, but even these pitch competitions, I mean, you end up begging. And like the thing I love about entrepreneurship the most is like, I don't have to beg anybody for anything. You know, like these sharks sit up there like they are, you know, greater than God. Like, it's up to them whether your business can be successful or not. And the beauty of entrepreneurship is like, it ain't up to one person. It ain't up to no panel of sharks. It ain't up to the people hosting the pitch competition. It's up to the market and whether the market decides if you can be successful or not based on your ability to bring products and services to that market that it needs.
The other thing that I do find interesting about Shark Tank is a lot of times these businesses or these people pitching their business are already successful.
Word.
Like, millions of dollars of revenue have scaled. And so to your point, I do agree. When they are tearing these businesses down or telling them that they're not doing a great job or that they're not worth their money, but most of the time these people have thousands and thousands of customers and have already made it.
Word. Could you imagine Tiffany having to get up on national TV and ask for money for Momentum Advisors, like having to beg and they, you know, just shooting you down and, well, what about this? And, you know, I'll take 90% for $100,000, like completely devaluing everything you've done. Could you imagine having to do that?
No, not having to.
And again, no shade to the folks that go on Shark Tank. No shade to the folks that go on pitch competitions. It's just not for me. The beauty for me of entrepreneurship is the ability to have your own business, to be your own guy or gal, to be able to wake up every day and look yourself in the mirror and know that you own something that nobody can take away from you.
But I am going to be honest, we've done a lot of begging. We've done a lot of begging in our day.
I don't like it.
It might not be begging people for money, but in the beginning, you're begging customers. You're begging people to become clients,
yeah,
right? So you're going to be begging. It's going to be keen sweat one way or the other.
I've definitely done some begging. I've done some perspiring, too. Yeah, a lot of our early franchise investments, like, we put up no money, but we found people that had cash but needed outlets for that cash to make money. And we provided the sweat and we got the equity as a result. So I hope this was helpful to you all today to understand that there's more than one way to start a business. There's innovation, but there's also perspiration. And I think there's value in both.
So we will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Show.